You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
The Polished Woman. We have a jingle! Yay! Good afternoon, Polished Woman. It's Monday, my favorite day, and my favorite person is here.
Aww.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, actually, when I thought of her, I was like, wait. I don't think she needs us. She doesn't need to promote
what does that
anything.
Mean?
She doesn't. But I was like, when I literally, followed her and then saw everything, I was like, you know what? Because here in Polish, when Max and I, when I started, I was like, Max, how if nobody watches? How if like nobody listens? He's like, Jessica, remember, if there's only if one person is listening, it yep. doesn't matter. At least you've changed that person's
yes.
life, and
yep.
so. Okay, I'm going to have to invite Christina because it's good to hear from someone, not just from me, but, you know, from you as well, because we kind of like have the same,
have
you know, similar situation. And so I'm so glad she's here.
Aww,
she's
so
having me. She's like, oh my gosh, yay. And,
I know, you guys have champagne. Cheers.
We're going to drink all of it.
This is the first podcast I've been on. It's giving me champagne. So you are now officially my favorite. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. So, what is one thing that we all have in common? It's trouble. It's either we have emotional, physical, or mentally suffering. It's, these things can bring us trouble, which is what? Anger, bitterness, disappointment. What do we do? Do we hang on to them or separate with them? Just like what Christina, I saw one of his. It's like divorce them, separate from them, instead of like hanging and clinging on to them. And so, my episode for today with her is, what do you call a woman who does it all? Remember last night we were like, what do you call a woman who does it all? That's Christina Cousin.
Do I do it all? Don't ask me to do math. I don't do math. No.
Okay, so we have a similar situation. We both moved here in the US, not knowing
much.
Not sure what are we really gonna do. And then we both, you know, you had a similar situation. When we moved here, we had zero money, $0. And I lived in Palmdale. Like, with my in-laws. Like, Max was like, where is Palmdale? I'm like, I cried for 6 months. Aww. We didn't have any money, nothing. And I was like, I didn't know where the future will be. And so that's why when I, you know, read your story, I was like, wow. He's like... And I'm so happy and so happy for you.
Thank you.
Proud of you. So tell them. Because I have like a lot of listeners from, what's his name? Just got our analytics from Netherlands.
Philippines, Sweden.
Philippines,
oh, that's
Colombia,
awesome.
And Sweden. It's like weird. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be there.
That's awesome.
So tell them your story.
So basically, like you said, I moved from Croatia as a teenager to the U.S. And then got married in my early 20s. And it was just not a healthy situation. So.
Yeah.
When I decided to leave, I had a 1.5 and a 3-year-old. And I left without asking for any financial support, anything. I just wanted to leave with as little drama as possible. You know, I sort of wanted to tiptoe out of that and not add any more chaos. And because of that, I didn't have any family because they were all in Croatia. I ended up not even being able to afford an apartment for the kids and I. So we shared a little bedroom in an apartment, and I had a roommate in the other room. I couldn't afford a bed. I slept on the floor. My friend bought bunk bed for my kids, and I was on food stamps, and I had a friend who worked at Starbucks and asked his boss if when the food goes stale, it isn't bad yet, it's just dry, you know, the little sandwiches and stuff they sell, if they could give it to me, and they did. And so now I have like this emotional connection to Starbucks because so many days we ate their stale turkey sandwiches. But more than the financial struggle, I sunk into a really deep depression.
Yes.
And it got so bad that I just felt like such a loser that I thought, oh, my kids deserve so much better.
Yes.
And by the way, from doing what I do, I know there's a lot of parents who feel that way. My kids deserve so much better, which is not true. It's a lie you're telling yourself. But I believed that lie.
True.
And I ended up, it ended up so bad that I ended up having a secret list that nobody knew about. And it was pros and cons of how my suicide would affect my kids. And it makes me cringe now to know that the pros was longer than the cons. I really believed my kids and everybody would be happier if I was just gone.
Yeah.
And through a lot, I always tell people we waste a lot of our life waiting. Okay. We wait. I'm going to wait for this and that to happen, and then I'll finally be happy. I'm going to wait for this and that to happen, and then I'll feel, you know, more content to pursue my dreams.
Okay.
And I realize I can't wait. I gotta do what I can right now in this situation. And so I came at this crossroads where I felt like I'm either going to take my life mm-hmm. or I'm going to fight for my life. Okay. And the way I chose to fight for my life is I realized that I became completely self-obsessed. I think okay. when you're miserable, when you're depressed, when you're drowning in it, you are completely self-consumed. Okay. It's all about my life sucks. Everything's hard. Everything's negative. That's all you focus on. And one night I couldn't sleep and I thought, okay, how do I get out of this? That's my first step. I have to get out of this self-obsession. And the only way to do that is I'm going to volunteer.
Okay.
And so I called up hospital shelters and homeless shelters.
And this
shelters.
Is you without money.
Yes,
this
yes,
is
yes.
You.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I called up hospitals and homeless shelters and soup kitchens. And I got rejected
okay.
because I had, at that time, 2 and 3 year old, and they didn't want them volunteering, but I couldn't afford yeah. a babysitter. But, you know, 2 and 3 year old were blowing the place down. You know yeah. how that is. And so I get why they didn't want them. And so then, again, I had the choice. Am I going to say, nobody wants me, my life sucks, everything's bad, mm-hmm. or am I going to fight? Okay. And the way I chose to fight, again, and by the way, I believe everybody has feistiness in them. I believe it's a tool they leave in their toolbox and they don't take
yes.
out
yes.
often enough.
Yeah.
You got to. Life is so hard. I don't care if you have all the money in the world or you've never been divorced or you've never been poor. Life is still hard.
Yes.
And you have to use that feistiness. And so anyway,
yeah.
what I decided is, okay, nobody wants me. Is there something I can do on my own?
Okay.
Even when I feel like a complete loser, is there something I can do? And the only thing that I felt confident in even then was I knew I could cook a great meal. And so without
wow.
even thinking it through, I wrote an email to all my contacts
yeah.
and it said, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, but every Wednesday night I'm going to feed people.
Okay.
And I don't care if they're poor. They might be poor. They might have more money than me, but maybe it's an elderly man whose
yeah.
wife just passed and he's lonely. Maybe it's someone who's new to town and wants company. I don't care what the need is.
Yeah.
Bring them over. And went to the 99-cent store, which we were very tight. We were basically dating at that time, the 99-cent store night. And I bought just, you know, pasta and whatever I could find. And I threw together this dinner. And that first night, first Wednesday, I fed over 30 people. And it changed my life.
Wow.
I could cry right now, even though I've told the story a million times. It changed my life because I looked at my life and I went, oh, my gosh, I have been dwelling, obsessing on all the things I can't do
yes.
and who I'm not and what I'm not capable of. And the instant I took the little one tiny little thing, which seemed insignificant, I can cook, so what?
Yeah.
But the minute I took that and focused on that, I was able to
feed 30 people.
And these people were thankful to me. The loser girl, you know, I thought I was a loser. The girl who had nothing to offer. They're
yeah.
thanking me and saying, oh my gosh, I needed this. I'm new to town. You know, I needed a home-cooked meal. I'm a college kid. I'm sick after here. Whatever. I'm like, I have something to offer. My life matters. I'm not
yeah.
worthless. And that was a turning point for me. Nothing happens overnight. So
okay.
I still struggled a lot after that.
Yeah.
But that was that moment where I went, I am done focusing on the negative, and I'm going to start focusing on what can I do now with what I have?
Okay.
I'm
going to
stop waiting, basically, right?
Okay.
I'm not going to wait. I've always told people my life changed. My life, meaning how I feel about myself
mm-hmm.
and my attitude, changed before my circumstances changed. Does
okay.
that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, when my circumstances changed, that's not how it works,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
You need to get to a good place
okay.
emotionally,
okay.
mentally, and then the other stuff will change.
All right. So then what happened after that? How did you start with this? You know, whole
okay.
blogging.
So eventually
then,
I get
yeah.
remarried to like the most supportive guy, but I didn't marry.
I saw that.
Yeah. But I
saw
didn't marry
so
for
sweet.
Money because he
yeah.
was back in school getting a different degree, changing his career.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting tables and broke.
Yeah.
And so we didn't even take a honeymoon
because
we couldn't afford it. And the day after our wedding, he's like, what do you want to do? Like, you have so much passion. And I'm like, I don't know. I've just been in survival mode. He's like, what do you want to do? I'm going to support you, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, let me put out these little cooking videos because I feel like cooking saved my life, cooking
okay.
for strangers. So I make these little cooking videos. Basically, long story short, I end up on this competition.
Mm-hmm.
I get discovered by Oprah and Mark Burnett, who
yeah,
does Survivor and The Voice
so
and all that.
True.
And I end up on this show called Oprah Search for the Next TV Star.
Okay.
From like, I forget. 10 or 15,000 contestants and narrowed it down to 10. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm one of the 10.
Is this the one that you stayed in one place?
Yes.
In a place? Oh,
for like 2 months.
I remember, I know who got out right away. It was like, at least, I think it was Lee Keckner.
I know her. Yeah. I mean,
there.
I know her
yeah.
because she
yeah.
you know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That's
friend.
So funny.
She's a friend of ours.
Yes.
And she got out like right away.
Yeah.
I'm
she
like,
was the first one.
Yeah.
So
she said something. I don't want to say. She might be watching this.
I love her, by the way. I love Lee. So long story short, complete shocker. I win the whole thing, and I end up with a cooking show on the Oprah Winfrey Network. And it was amazing, and she was amazing, and I don't think I would be doing what I do if it wasn't for her encouragement. But, you know, she got busy doing her stuff, and I got left with TV execs who were like, you need to be perfect. Without saying that, that's what they were saying.
Yes.
So they put me in this perfect kitchen with this, you know, everything was perfect. I would spill something, and I would make a joke about it, and they'd be like, no. Let's take that, do that take again.
Yeah.
We got to clean up. And I felt like I was betraying something. I just felt guilty. I couldn't even identify what it was, but it just, the whole thing felt so wrong to me. And then that ended, and I realized that what was bothering me about that is that I wanted to be for others what I needed when I was at my lowest. And what I did not need is to turn on the TV and see another cooking show with a perfect mom, with a perfect life, with perfect recipes. Yeah. I didn't need
that. Because it's not real.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's all fake.
It's all fake.
And so that's when I decided I'm going to start making parenting videos, not as a career. Honestly, I was thinking it'll just be a hobby. But it, like you said, if it can reach one person, right?
Yeah.
If I can reach one mom who will, you know, go on Facebook or YouTube and see a video where I am saying it like it is and I'm showing that my life isn't perfect and all that, great. And I think it was the fourth video I made, Ashton Kutcher shared it. And that obviously went viral. And then all of a sudden People Magazine was calling and Us Weekly. And it just blew up into this thing that I never expected, ever.
Wow. But what, okay, because I want to share, there's a lot of women out there, especially the moms, right?
Yeah.
Is there any age limit where you can actually, you know, start or...
I don't
they
think so.
Feel like, right?
No. I think the only limits are we put the limits on.
Yeah.
My grandmother got her driver's license for the first time in her 70s.
No.
She's a driver's ed with a bunch of 16-year-olds. Oh, that must have been fun. So I think the only, and it would have been, I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't have their driver's license and they're 70. They're going, well, I'm not going to do it now. I'm 70.
Yeah.
We use age as the limit, but we're the ones putting the limit on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by the way, yes, I'm in an industry that's very shallow at times and all that. And I'm saying, screw it. I'm still going to make videos in my pajamas. And look, they're still going viral. So screw you. Like, and the other thing is, you gotta decide why you're doing it.
Yes.
Because the truth is, if the numbers went away, if the views went away, if the money went away, would I still be as passionate about what I do? Yes. That's how you know you're in the right field. If you're doing it because, oh my gosh, well, I'm this old and that's why the industry won't like me or I won't get the views or I won't. Well, then you're doing it for the wrong reason in the first place.
Yeah, that's so true.
Do it because it is in your soul and you need to do it because you were put on this earth with this message that you want to share. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So now, okay, so you did this and now you have, you know, you're touring and you have, you know,
my book.
Your book. She has a book.
Yes.
What is it about?
So my book is called Hold On But Don't Hold Still. And when I first started getting contacted by publishers, I was like, I don't want to write. I'm not a writer. I'm not going to write a book. But I got so many emails from people after, you know, as my videos started coming out.
Yeah.
And people wanted to know more.
Okay.
So they were like, okay, you touched on this topic, but how did you get from A to Z? Okay, you touched on divorce, you touched on miscarriage, you touched on depression, you touched on all these things. I need more.
Okay.
And so I felt like this book is my reply all.
Okay.
Because I don't have time to write to everybody back.
I wish
I did. And so I literally was looking through emails. I was looking through the stuff, the most common questions I get. And I just decided to share those parts of my story. It's a very vulnerable book. I'm very vulnerable in it. It's very raw. I don't hold back, but it's also very funny because to me, humor is like medicine and you need it. So the subtitle is Hope and Humor from My Seriously Flawed Life.
And that's the show that you're doing as well.
Yeah.
Right?
So the show, the tour is called Hope and Humor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really fun. Just performing live and getting to meet people face to face.
Yeah, face to face. Because, you know, guys, it's very hard. Like what she does and being away from your family for what you do, it's not a joke, right?
No.
It's very, very
but you
hard.
Know,
so don't get mad if she doesn't answer back, if she doesn't, you know, return your email or because she can only do so much.
Yeah.
Remember, she has three kids and a husband that she has to take care of.
Yeah.
Right?
I always say, and
herself.
Myself.
Yeah,
I need my Botox. I need my facials.
Yeah.
I always say someday when I'm retired, I plan on sitting on a beach with Margarita answering all the emails. So if you haven't heard back from me in about 40, 50 years, if email still exists, I will reply to you. I'll be on a beach half drunk. And I'll be like,
I know. She's having fun.
I know the teenagers you wrote me about is now 50 years old, but let me tell you my advice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So you can do this what age, whatever age, even if you're 60, even if you're freaking 70.
I mean, isn't there, I forget, Julia Child was like, was she in her 40s when she wrote her first cookbook or something like that? Yeah. Don't use age as a limit.
Yeah.
And by the way, part of me thinks that they're not actually using age as a limit.
Okay.
It's just an excuse because they have fear. Because it's freaking scary. It's scary starting something because what if you fail?
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, there's always, right? And if you fail, by the way, who cares? Failure doesn't have to be the end of the sentence.
How about money? Is there money involved when you start? Okay, so she's like our goal model, by the way, So is there a money involved? Because there's a lot of people who doesn't have like finances as well, right?
So if you have a phone with a camera, you can do it. Because the way I started, I had no money.
Yeah.
I started taking videos of myself, and then I didn't know how to edit. So I stayed up all night. I had three kids. The kids are in bed. I would stay up sometimes literally till 6 a.m. when I had to get the kids up and ready for school. And I would Google how to edit. And I did it on iMovie, which professional editors mock me for because I, you know.
Yeah.
And I would screw up so many times. The first video that ever went viral, I had to reshoot 4 times. One time, I forgot to take the lens off because I was actually using a camera
at that point.
One time, it was all red. I don't even know why, but it looked like I was bleeding out of my eyeballs in the video. And I had to reshoot it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
You're not going to have money to hire people right away.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of work. I think the problem is people see this and go, that sounds fun and easy. I'll just turn on a camera and make a video. No, I had to learn a lot.
Yeah.
But you know what? The work paid off because now I actually have a team that I pay to film it, to edit it. So, you can do it without money.
So how do you do it all,
Christina? I don't do it all. I don't do it all. I'll tell you what. One of the questions I get asked so often is how do you balance it all?
Yeah.
And I made a video about that that's called Screw Balance. And in the video, we bleep out the word balance every time I say it because I'm like, it's a dirty, dirty word. Because, by the way, people don't ask men, how do you balance children and, you know, your family and your career? They don't get asked that. Women get asked that. Why do we have
to
be superheroes?
True.
Why can't we just be average humans and accept that that's great and wonderful? And so when I think of balancing something, I literally think of carrying like 15 plates. My husband plate, my kids plate, my career plate, my work plate, my friend, right?
Yeah.
And if I try to balance them all, definitely at least a few will crash and fall. So instead of trying to balance them all, I don't think it's about balancing. I think it's about choosing. Today, I'm going to focus on this plate. This afternoon, I'm going to take my daughter out for, you know, get her nails done and just give her some one-on-one time. Okay, now I'm going to focus on this. Now I'm going to focus on this.
Wow.
And by the way,
and
here's the most important part. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to beat myself up if I don't do it all perfectly. I'm not.
That's so true.
Because I'm not meant to be perfect. I'm a flawed human, and that's great. And there's no reason to aim for perfection because it's unattainable, and all it will do is leave me feeling inadequate.
That's so good.
That is, if you can learn that lesson,
that's so true.
You will like yourself so much more. Think about it. Most of our insecurities, most of us, just feeling inadequate and all that comes from the fact that we are striving for this unrealistic fantasy we will never reach.
That's so true. But hopefully you can. No, but how about your husband? Does he help you like with this whole thing?
He is incredibly supportive.
Because, you know, that's a lot of like with me as well.
Yeah.
I have a very Max, I have a very codependent husband. I have to be there all the time beside him, even watching TV. I know. I always complain. I said, Max, no, I can't, because my husband is like, you know, there's a, like, you know, I want to save that marriage. I want to be, you know, with him and stuff. So I can only do things. How about
we don't work together.
Okay.
He's got his own career. He's a CPA and he loves that. But he's extremely supportive. So if I am stressed and I have to do something, or when I was touring, the only reason I decided to tour is because they let me pick my own dates. So I was like, great, I'm taking 2 months here. I'll do 3 shows this weekend. Then I want 8 weeks off. Then I want this. And he would say, okay, let's sit down together. I'll just take this Friday off work so you can travel and I'll take care of the, you know, I'll stay home with the kids. We don't have to worry about anything.
So good.
He's very supportive, and here's the important thing. When you're doing a job like mine, it's very easy to people to go, you make videos, like, who cares? You know, kind of way to undermine it. And he respects me completely. He respects my career. He doesn't think that my career is less important than his career, that my goals and dreams professionally are less important than his.
Yeah.
I think to have a partner like that is so important.
So important.
Yeah.
That's so true. How about, because we just talked about the bullying, the cyberbullying.
Yeah.
And we all have. I mean, I mean, how do you deal with that? Because there's, if there are mm-hmm. women out there who will start this, some of them, they get scared right away. Yeah.
You're going to, trust me, if you start putting yourself out publicly, if you put yourself out there publicly, you will get negativity. Yeah. I get negativity every single day now. And because of the, you know, as the following has grown,
yes,
that's great, but also the negativity grows, right? Because more people know you.
Yeah.
And I used to care, and I used to let it keep me up all night. Oh, my gosh, what they said, was it true? And should I do, you know, all that stuff we do. And then I realized, I don't anymore. I literally don't care.
Yeah.
Because what I realize is it's kind of like suitcases. That's how I think of it. Mm-hmm. It's their suitcase of baggage.
Okay.
They feel miserable at their life. They've gone through some stuff. And they think that pain is like dodgeball. Okay. They think if they throw that ball of pain at you, they're going to be rid of it.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. I always say being a crappy human will never make you a happy human.
Yes.
So what they're doing is they're handing you a suitcase. And they're saying, carry this for me because I'm miserable. Their hatred has nothing to do with you personally. They don't even know you.
Yeah.
They're handing you a suitcase. And I used to pick up all those suitcases like a bellhop. I would just carry them around for everybody. And now, if I get a negative comment, I always think, is this suitcase about me? Is this my suitcase that I'm supposed to carry, or is that theirs?
Okay.
And always, especially with strangers on social media who don't know you, it is their suitcase. It's their baggage. It's not yours to worry about.
So true.
And here's the other thing. If I took the hatred, I don't take the hatred I get to heart the same way I don't get the compliments from strangers I take to heart. Because if every time a woman said to me, oh my gosh, you're like my best friend and you saved my life and I think you're amazing and you're the greatest thing ever, man, my ego, I wouldn't fit in this room. Do you know what I mean? So you have to consider the audience. You got to have your inner circle who you know love you enough to say, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
And I have my inner circle. And, you know, whether it be a friend, whether it be your husband, whoever it is, who you know
that's
will
important.
Tell you the truth. And everybody else is just handing you their suitcases that are not yours to carry.
Amen. That's so good. Wait, so I want to ask you this. When you moved here, did you ever even thought of, like, I'm going to be one of the biggest,
in America. First of all, when I moved here, there was no, like, Facebook
or
YouTube. It didn't exist.
There's no.
Whoever invented YouTube, because that's how I started, is YouTube. I would,
I know.
Yeah, I bought you some flowers, YouTube creator. I'm just kidding.
Champagne.
No, I always, I from when I was a little kid, I loved being on stage.
Yeah.
And so there was always like this performer in me. But, you know, I was always, and this is something interesting for everybody to think about.
Yeah.
I was always almost made to feel bad about this. Like oh, she just wants to be the center of attention. And it took me into my adulthood to go, no, I don't want to be a center of attention. This is my personality. This is who I am. I'm loud and I talk a lot.
Yeah.
And guess what, haters? Now I turned it into a career. You know? So I always tell parents, sometimes your child's like biggest annoyance, the thing that annoys you most about your child could turn out to be their greatest talent.
I know that's so true. You know, when I started this, Max was like, I hate posting about myself.
Yeah.
Like, when I post, I always post with a group and my friends friends. And it's like, no, you gotta do it. You just have to have a thick face and just like, you know, but they're gonna say bad stuff about me, but who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
I mean, seriously, if I sent you some of the negative comments I've just gotten in the last 48 hours, you'd be like, I mean, people are so cruel. And you have to just literally go, shh, next.
It's crazy.
And the funny thing is, they're still following me.
I know, it's right. I'd follow you. I mean, I'd follow us if you don't have,
I've given directions to people. I've said, you know what? There's this thing called the block button.
I know.
And here's how to use it. And then I've literally copy-pasted, you know.
No, I'm not kidding. I just know people. They don't even know. Yeah.
And all of your friends.
All of my friends. Like, it's crazy. And then I would go to, like, a function and they would make fun of like some other people, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they don't even know that I have they don't know that I have a show, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder like how they make fun of me as well. I was just like,
but that's the thing, the fact that you hear them doing it to other people just says it's their suitcase. It is not personal. Do you know
so
what I mean?
True.
Yeah.
That is
there you go.
Hello.
That's
I know my English and my grammar. Hello.
You sound amazing. You sound amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think? What legacy do you want to leave behind? You know, with doing all of this.
I mean, my goal in with everything, whether it's a serious video, whether it's just a funny, silly video, is just to make people feel less alone.
That's
I really like the one thing. And I write about this in my book a lot. I really want people to learn to give themselves, as I say, more credit than criticism and more grace than judgment. We are our own worst bullies. We are the things we say to ourselves, we would never say to our closest loved ones. We would never do it. That's I had so this cool. one video where I called four different women and said, tell me some of the cruelest things you say to yourself. And one woman was, I'm fat. And one woman said, I'm lazy. And, you know, there were all these horrible things. And then they didn't know I was going to do this. I surprised them. And I pulled out a childhood picture of them. And I said, say it again. Say it to this girl.
I know.
And all four of them couldn't say it. Because they were like, I would, and I'm like, but you are that girl.
Yeah.
You would never say it to a younger self. Why are you doing it to yourself? So I always tell people, put a picture of yourself when you were young up somewhere. And when you say whatever those cruel things are, you say, try and say it to that girl. You know, think about somebody saying it to your child.
Yes.
Think about trying to say it to your to whoever you love the most, your mother, your best friend. You would
That's
never.
So
we are our own worst bully. And by the way, if we want bullying to end, we need to start with us. We need
That's
to start
true.
With stop bullying ourselves, right?
That's true. Oh, my God. That's so good. Well, speaking of yourself, if you, Christina, speaking of yourself, I've been wanting to do this to myself as well, but if you were to write yourself now and give maybe 5 to 6 sentences, let's say you're going to write yourself, what will you write yourself?
If I wrote myself a letter?
Yeah.
Dear Christina. Like I wrote to myself where I am now in my life.
Yes.
I would say I am so freaking proud of you. I could cry right now. Yeah. That's what I would say. I would say I'm so freaking proud of you because you hit rock bottom and you decided to fight. And it wasn't easy. And you had when you were fighting, you had no idea what was at the end of that tunnel.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you faced a lot of setbacks and you just kept fighting. And not just for yourself. It meant that you were fighting for your children and you were fighting for your future. And now, unbeknownst to me, fighting for all these other women that are looking up to me. That would be the main thing. I'm so freaking proud of you. And don't you ever, ever, ever give up.
Oh, my gosh. That is so good.
Yeah, what would you say?
Well, I made it here in America with my English. From zero money, too.
So there you go. I feel like our letters would be similar.
I know. Yeah, and I moved here. I was like, shoot, what am I going to... Wait, it's so hot. What am I going to do here? I was like, literally, I cried for like months and months of crying. And, you know, I didn't even graduate from college as well. So I was like, what am I going to freaking do here in America? And I don't know. And I lived in the mountain of Timbuktu. And nobody, I don't know anybody. And all of a sudden, like, I moved to our little town,
you know,
our little town. And I just started like talking to women and like advising them because I'm so into like, I'm very pro-marriage. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
It's about saving your marriage, you know, even if sometimes you get fucked by your husband. But, you know, it's just that they listen to me and I'm like, oh, they listen? Even if my English is this. And that's how it started.
But see, what's amazing about your story
and
what people need to hear, women and men,
Is
I really feel like we all have something. We all have something we were put on earth for. We all have a strength.
Yeah.
And the problem is sometimes it seems small. Like for me, it started with the cooking thing, right? That seems small.
Yeah.
For you, like, so what? I have some advice. It might seem insignificant.
Yeah.
What we do is we sort of undermine it. We sort of go, well, but that's not good enough.
Yeah.
That's not something that could lead to something. Instead of saying, no, this is what my strength is. This is what my passion is. I'm going to grow it.
We're so
quick to just sort of dismiss it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's what's important is for people to go, okay, what was I put on this earth for? What is my calling? What is my purpose?
And I think one person that will actually wake you up. And I was actually, my friend helped me and I helped her with her marriage. And she was the one who told me, she's like, you have to write a book.
Mm.
You have to get out there. And I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, no.
Yeah.
She went to writing class with me every Wednesday and she's so busy. And that's why I owe her as well everything. That's why I always put her on my book. And if you're watching, she's watching.
Awesome.
She's always watching. And I really owe her, you know, a lot. I mean, a lot. And of course, Max, I cried to him before starting the show. I cried and I'm like, I can't do this. Who's going to listen? And my English.
There's your reminder.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm like, I didn't want to do it. And then, now I have Christina, you guys.
But even that is so important. Like
people
supporting each other. There's way too much comparing and competing.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, it's a beautiful big world and there's room for everybody to thrive.
Yes,
like somebody else's success does not undermine your success.
Okay.
So
what does a goal model What can you say about the mental issue that's happening right now? You know, they're saying that, okay, find your purpose, but how? You know, like, here I am, I'm mentally, like, fucked up, or, you know. I mean, what can you say about the whole mental issue? Why do you think there's a lot of women out there who's suffering from mental and emotional issues?
Well, first of all, get help, because I think for some reason, and this pisses me off more than anything,
because you went through so much, and you didn't, look at her, she went through so much.
But there's such a stigma around it.
Yeah.
And I think, because there's a stigma on it, people think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. Okay. And I believe asking for help is a sign of strength. Okay. It takes way more strength to ask for help.
Yes.
So get the help you need. My goodness, if you fall right now and you're having a heart attack, like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to call 911 and get you help. Why aren't we treating depression, anxiety, and everything else the same way? It's like the minute it's mental, for some reason there's a stigma. You know, I've told my kids before, I'm like, if you're struggling with something, let's get professional help. Because... And I always tell them, I had thyroid issues a few years ago. What did I do? I went to a doctor. I started taking pills. I got help. You know, whatever. It doesn't have to be medication. Maybe you just need therapy. Maybe you do need medication.
True.
Whatever it is,
that's true.
Get the help and see it as a sign of strength. And also another thing, I think one of the reasons so many people are anxious and depressed and, you know, all that is that, again, there's an expectation, especially in women, that we have to do it all and do it great. And we have to be everything for everyone. And we have to serve.
Yeah.
And I always encourage people, take time out for yourself.
Okay.
Because so many women tell me they feel guilty when they take time out for themselves because my husband and my kids.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Yeah. When you take time out for yourself, you're not taking away from your family. You're adding to your family because you're giving them a healthier parent. Because when you take time out for yourself, you are taking care of the most important person in your husband's life. You are taking
That's
care of the
true.
Most important person in your child's life.
That's
so you're not
true.
Taking away from them. You're adding to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's so good.
But I still struggle with things. I mean, it's not like it just goes away. You know, life is hard. Even when, you know, you reach your career goals and whatever, and you have a great marriage, life is hard.
Yeah.
And you have to learn.
And it doesn't stop, right? For some reason, the hardship does not stop. Even if you're successful, even if you have everything, you have a perfect marriage and life. Yeah. It just doesn't.
But your perception can change, and that's the key. You know,
I
talk a lot about how I used to hate myself, and I always try to remind people, I'm not a different person now than I was back then when I hated myself. I'm actually not a different person. I'm not a better person. I'm not a smarter person. I'm the same person. The thing that's changed is my perception of myself has changed.
Okay.
I'm still the same person, but I don't see myself the way you used to. I don't focus on all my flaws. I don't beat myself up over every mistake. I give myself, like I said, more credit than criticism, more grace than judgment. Okay. You know, at the end of the night, I've learned instead of going, oh, look at my to-do list and all the things I didn't get done. Now I write my ta-da list. Look at all the things I did get done. I kept 3 kids alive and fed and loved.
So
ta-da!
Good. Yeah. You know? Instead of focusing on, okay, I have not done this, but, you know, focus on, like, what you have done and be
happy.
Go ahead. Oh, my God. Oh, wait.
Oh, I was just going to say, I made this one video called I Didn't Get Anything Done Today. Or something. I forget what it was called. Something like that. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm talking about, oh, I didn't get anything done. I literally got nothing done today, blah, blah, blah. And while I'm saying it, because people do this all the time, I got nothing done today. There's a list going by of everything I did. I returned that email. I made that phone call. I made that lunch for my kid. I prepped dinner.
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store. I did laundry. And when women saw that, they were like, oh, my gosh, that's so true. There's so much that we don't give ourselves credit for that we accomplish every single day.
Yes. Thank you so much. Wait, hold on. One more. Can I ask you one more? Okay. Is there anything in your life that, if you're looking back, that you want to change or you would have changed?
You know, that whole, like, I have no regrets. I don't actually live with that because there's nothing I would change as far as my path because it brought me to where I am. But any time in my life that I was in any way unkind, that I brought hurt to somebody.
I know, that's true.
I would change that because I really don't ever, there's so much hurt in the world that I really want to only add good to the world and not add more hurt. So anytime I have added hurt and I have, because we are all flawed, I would take those moments back.
See, Max, I told you, because that was one of my New Year. That was because I said, I talked about, you know, ending the 20, you know, the whole decade.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, I'm going to have to start, like, you know, because it comes with, when you're talking to someone, sometimes you make fun of this, or you talk about this, or, oh, you see what she's wearing, or, you know, like, stop. I mean, like, I don't, like, I want to take that out. Like, mm-hmm. I want to be this good person, this new person that believe, you know, that have faith and that believes in hope and love. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like, just don't do it. Don't say it. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, do it. If you say, if you post about love and stuff, do it. Yeah. You really have
don't
to
be a
love.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yes.
And,
yeah.
you know, thank you so
oh,
much.
Thank you
my
for
love.
Having me. Thanks
thank
for the
you.
Champagne.
Oh my God.
Cheers.
See, this is what I was telling you guys. What do you call that? About my New Year's thing. You know, do something. If you've reached the top, be humble. Mm. Don't, you know, just because you're there.
Yeah. None of us are better than anybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be humble. And
at the end of the day, we all poop.
And we all fart.
Yes.
But not in front of my husband. Yeah. He can. He's going to be like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck was that? Okay. Remember that trouble will always be a part of your life. I have to say this. Somehow, hardships will just pop out of your life, out of nowhere, if this happens. I always think of this verse from Corinthians 2 Corinthians 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, do not lose heart, for our inner man is renewed every single day. See what God is trying to tell you, whatever you are going through. There is always a purpose behind it. If Christina and I were able to do the purpose from the hardship that we had, you too can do it.
Absolutely.
Yay! So, our Polish woman for today, who is she? Dr. Justina Ford was an American physician. She was born on January 22nd, just like me, 1871. She was the first licensed African-American female doctor in Denver, Colorado, and practiced gynecology, really? obstetrics and pediatrics. Pediatrics. From her home for half a century to women who could not afford medical services. Dr. Ford delivered over 7,000 babies in her home. She died in 1952, but her legacy continues. A real Polish woman,
that's
you
amazing.
Guys. So, Dr. Justin Ford, I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. Cheers. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you for having
you.
Me.
That was thank fun. You. And if you do something good, do it with love and give love to the next person that you see afterwards. Oh my God, what the heck? What the heck?
The